Father, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And we want to thank you. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We receive, we partake, we are involved, Father, as you lead us through your Son Jesus, the King of Kings, to see the reality of who you are, the way you do things, become real in the lives of the people in our communities and our nation through Jesus. Amen. What we have been doing is we've been looking at the atonement and just really getting a better understanding of when we speak about the atoning sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, what does that really mean? And it's really about us growing in faith as the Holy Spirit opens up so that we know how to remember faith has a substance. It's the foundation in which that which is unseen is built upon and begins to manifest. So when we have a deeper understanding of the blood of Jesus and there's a faith, when we pray in the name of Jesus, now there's a substance to that which we cannot see. We cannot yet see a town saved. But now when we have the substance about the atonement of Jesus Christ, we can see a town being saved. See, because there's a foundation to be able to believe and to pray and to whatever we do or say, we do it in His name. And that's what we've been looking at. And so today, we're going to just continue laying a bit of a foundation before we look at the effects, the results of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus. And so we just want to get a little bit more of understanding of why was it necessary for God to introduce the sacrificial system, the Day of Atonement and the whole sacrificial system. Why was it necessary? And then next week we'll start looking at the answers to that, and we'll start to see how God was satisfied. We'll start to see how God's wrath was, how His mercy came through. We'll start to see the power of the blood in redeeming and so forth. So today we'll just be continually just sharing a little bit more of why is it necessary. I asked that question, why did God give Moses the instruction and the teaching about the Day of Atonement? I think the first real glimpse we get concerning atonement was when, because remember one of the words for atonement is to cover. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned and they were hiding from God. So now the offense was there. How is God going to relate with them now? Because now there's an offense in the way, sin, the disobedience. What happened there? God, there was an animal, the blood was shed, and the skin covered them. And that's the first time we start to get a prophetic glimpse of the sacrifice of Jesus. From that very first reality where God clothed them, because what happened? They were aware of their nakedness. They were aware of their sin and everything they were hiding, and God covered them. And that's one of the words that we had to look at last week and the week before of atonement, is to cover. Cover means to remove. So now, with God covering with the skin, He removed the offense so that now He forgave them. He removed so that now they can have a relationship. And that's how it started over there. So here we see that in God gives Israel the festivals, and one of those festivals is what they call the Day of Atonement. Now remember, Israel was to be a royal priesthood, a kingdom, a nation that declares and shows the other nations the incredible relationship that God has with them. So they were to be a witness, a testimony to all the other nations. So now God, now remember before creation, in Revelation, before creation, Christ was already slain. Okay, so now God, now with Israel, brings in the sacrificial system, because the sacrificial system, the atonement, is all to do with the sin offering and how God deals with sin. And that, so that now the nations can see and have a witness of how God deals with the sin of a nation. Okay? Again, remember, it's pointing to Jesus Christ. So now there's a testimony going through all nations concerning the sacrifice. So when Jesus comes and the gospel starts to preach, get shared over there, there's a huge foundation already laid amongst the nations, because Israel was a witness, was a testimony. So whenever we see all the time, the nations would refer, and wherever Israel went, they would try and continue one way or another with the Passover or whatever sacrifice, with the festival that day could continue with. So we have the Day of Atonement, but I want to just read from Leviticus chapter 16 first, and where the Lord speaks to Moses about this. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark." So remember, the lid of the Ark of the Covenant was called the atoning, or the mercy seat. One of the words for atonement is mercy. And so that's where, because of God's mercy, there's a law that's in there. Israel sins, breaks the law. Above that, so that God can react because of the broken law, there's a mercy seat, the atoning cover. The blood was poured onto that atoning cover. And that's where heaven and earth can meet. Okay, so we see there with Jesus, when you look at Hebrews later on, where we see over there about the tabernacle, Jesus is the atoning. His blood makes the reality that God and man can meet. Reconciliation again. Okay, so the blood was necessary, and we'll see that now as we go on. And so here we see over there the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die. And that's important, because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. So the power of the blood was necessary in order to cover the sin, so that man and God, if there was no blood being shed, there's no forgiveness of sin, and so man and God could not meet. Man would die, as we see here in this, because man is sinful, and there's the nature of God, the just nature of God, that cannot, has to do something about the offense that we'll look at next week. Now we carry on, and we see over there the command that God gives to Aaron and to Moses about the blood and the atonement. But all the time, from the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering. So all the time we see the atonement is to deal with sin offering. Okay. So we starting to realize there that the atonement is necessary and became necessary because of sin. So in order to deal with sin, the atonement, God gave this, the instructions of how to deal with sin, how he has ordained, how he has spoken, and what he has brought into place in order to deal with sin. Okay, so we carry on. And then it carries on. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering, to make atonement for himself and his household. And it carries on over there about the sin offering but the goat, and then we won't look at this now, the scapegoat, that'll come as we go on when we look at substitution. The Lord is before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the desert as a scapegoat. Then he carries on and he says here about the sin over there. He is to take some of the bull's blood and with the finger sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover. Then he shall sprinkle some of it with his finger seven times before the atonement cover. So now he's appropriating the blood. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people and take its blood beyond the curtain and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover. So here we see here now, once a year only, could the high priest, only the high priest, could he not take the blood from that goat, and he could go through the veil and put it there on the lid, on the atonement cover, on the mercy seat. Okay? For the sins of Israel. He's done it for himself. Aaron's done it for himself and his family. They've done that now. Now the high priest can go into the most holy place over there. And it carries on. But also, it's interesting because also in that, in it there, he would sprinkle the blood over there because the blood also sanctifies the premises. The blood of Christ spilt on the ground as well. Very important in understanding the redemption of all things, the reconciliation of all things, understanding the whole of creation groans because of sin, went into decay. Very important to understand the power of the blood of Christ, the finished work. It is complete, perfect. Okay. So that's why if we don't have the faith in the power of the blood and understanding what is done over there, we won't have victory in many areas concerning the environment, because we're dealing with a spiritual thing, and God, the blood is the answer for the spiritual realities of the land. And then we carry on and we see here, verse 18. Then he shall come out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. He shall take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and put it on all the horns of the altar. He shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times to cleanse it and so consecrate from the uncleanness of the Israelites. And when Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He shall lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. Okay? What's happening now? There's the removal of sin that this is now speaking about. You'll see that as we come to Jesus. He shall send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all the sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it in the closet, in the desert. What does forgiveness mean? The Greek for forgive means to release. You see? What's taking place over here? Now that because of those two goats, the sins lays hands, so the sins of Israel is placed on there and released from Israel. The atonement is all about the forgiveness of sins, because it's a sin offering. So something has to take place from God's side for us to be released from our sin. Atonement. Okay? Something has to take place for us to be separated from our sin. Something has to take place. And this is all the time. This was the foreshadow of the incredible work of Jesus Christ. Let me just quickly read verse 29, yeah? This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourself and not do any work, whether native born or an alien living among you. Because on this day, atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Very important. Then before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. Very important. Okay, we're going to look at Jesus now. It's a Sabbath rest, very important, because in Christ we enter into a Sabbath rest. He is our Sabbath rest. And you must deny yourself. Okay, we've died to the old man. We've been raised with Christ as a new creation. No longer I who live, it's Christ who lives. Atonement. It is a lasting ordinance. The priest who is anointed and ordained to succeed his father, that high priest, he has to make atonement. And it carries on. And he says over here, in verse 34, this is to be a lasting ordinance for you. Atonement is to be made once a year for all the sins of the Israelites. And it was done as the Lord commanded Moses. So, again, sin was, because of sin, and because sin, remember, sin is rebellion. Sin is disobedience. Okay? We see there in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 that Satan, he's a lawless one. He's been sinning from the very beginning. He's been in rebellion from the very beginning. Adam and Eve, what? They were disobedient. So sin is disobedience to God. Okay. So now, what takes place? Because of that disobedience, there's a sin reality. Now, someone had to break that. That's why, what did Jesus say? Offerings, sacrifices, and offerings you did not delight in. That word delight is where we're going to speak about God being satisfied. What satisfies God? Not the blood and bulls of the animal, only the blood of Jesus. And what did Jesus say? You have prepared a body for me. Here I am to come to do your will. So all of a sudden we see disobedience, sin, Jesus from heaven, obedience, atonement. Why was atonement necessary? Why must Christ give his life? Okay, building on, just to bring in all the time a bigger picture as we go on over there. Now, one of the things that is so important for us to understand in Leviticus chapter 17, and I'm reading from verse 11, here we see where God is speaking to Moses about the food and about eating blood. And for the Israelites, they were not allowed to eat the blood. And so we read there, verse 11 onwards, and any Israelite or any alien living among them who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from his people. For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Okay. Therefore I say to the Israelites, none of you must eat the blood, nor may any alien living among you eat the blood. So here we see God's ordained way of doing it. He's given the blood of the animal to Israel for atonement purposes. Life is in the blood. So for the Israelites, life and blood, the same thing. They could not separate that because they could not treat blood as common food. Because it was given for the atoning purpose. Okay? And so, for them, as I said, the blood and life is the same thing. And so the blood, they had to keep it as a holy unto the Lord. It belongs to God because God is the giver of life. So it belonged to God. The blood belongs to God. Okay? And that's why blood cries out. Innocent blood cries out. That's why so many things, the murder and all that, is such a heartache to God, because his life in the blood. And so he carries on, and we start to realize over here in Hebrews chapter 9. Let me quickly read there. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, you see, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Why was the atonement necessary? See, there will be no forgiveness if there's no shedding of blood. There will be no way for us to be able to have a relationship with God because of the offense of the sin, of the rebelliousness, of the disobedience, unless there is blood being shed. Okay, so let's have a look. In Matthew chapter 1, we've looked at this a few times, but I want to just spend a little bit more time on this verse. In Matthew chapter 1, where the birth of Jesus is taking place, and Mary is now pregnant, and Joseph wants to sort of divorce her, and the angel appears and says, no, because this child that your wife is carrying is conceived from the Holy Spirit. And then verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Very interesting. He will save his people from their sins. So we realize, through Adam, because of one man's sin, all man has sinned. So all mankind is full of sin. Got a sinful nature. They are controlled by sin. The power of sin operates. We cannot escape it. We need to be saved from our sin. That word from is the word separated. Without holiness, we cannot see God. So we have to be separated from the unholiness of sin. Okay, why is atonement necessary? So now all of a sudden we start to see, but God in His love, all those rituals, all that sacrificial system in the Old Testament was pointing to this very moment where the true Lamb of God, the atoning sacrifice, came into the world. And we begin to realize over here, let us look at this quickly, because He will save His people from their sins. So we need to be rescued. We need to be separated from our sin, because sin cannot go into the holiness of God. Remember, God is light. 1 John 1 verse 5, 6. And we cannot, if we're in the dark, light and dark cannot have fellowship. All of mankind is dark because of sin. So we cannot have fellowship. We cannot walk in the light and live in the light because of sin. Something had to take place. We had to be separated from that darkness. And that's why even in Colossians 1 and verse 13, that God rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the light, into the kingdom of His Son, Jesus Christ, through the redeeming blood of Jesus. Think about that. Because that when you and I gave our life to Jesus, we now entered into the reality that we have been separated from our sin. And then Paul says, in Christ there's no more condemnation. Think about this. Think about this. Because this is a key for discipling the folk, because many are giving their life to Jesus, but they don't know that they've been separated. And they don't know how to walk in the power of grace to be able to experience the active blood of Jesus working in their lives, and they offer their bodies back to sin, becoming once again a slave by their own free will. And meantime, that's not who they are in Christ Jesus. That's why we are a holy priesthood. We've been separated from sin. We've been separated from the power of sin. Remember Romans chapter 5, 6 and 7 and 8. That we spent months going through. So now we realize that's why it's so important to help folk, because, you know, we all got these sin habits, whatever it may be. But we've got to realize, but in Christ, we've been separated, so there's a power operating. That's why John speaks about this reality, and he says over there that in Christ, grace and truth came. And the one who receives this by faith, what happens over there? The righteousness, the grace of God, the righteousness of God reigns through the grace. And we start to find we've been separated from the power of sin. Because when Christ died, He put an end to that power. In His resurrection, we have been raised with Him into the new life. Very important to understand the power, the name of Jesus. When we pray in the name of Jesus, knowing that He came so that we can be separated from sin. Sin has no longer a hold on our lives. You believe that? Do I believe that? See, why do we keep on thinking about our sinful past? Why do we keep on thinking about our sin all the time? When we've been separated. And I think I need to change my terminology. Because now and again I speak about becoming sin conscious. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to the unsaved person, remember here, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of their unbelief, their guilt, so they become very sin conscious of their unbelief. Okay? When we step out of line, maybe I should rather use the word now, that now the Holy Spirit makes us truth conscious. Because now when we're walking and we're stepping out of line, Suddenly the Holy Spirit shares with us truth because He is the Spirit of truth. And now we become conscious of truth. And we can say, yes, Lord, thank you for showing me. And we respond. See? He is the Spirit of truth and He will guide us into all truth. And we have become truth conscious. And that's increasing. We're becoming more awakened to the fact of truth. And we, because of us living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, thank you, yes, and we follow in obedience because of our love for God and His love for us. So we carry on. So again, now in Matthew 1 verse 22, she will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus, which means the Lord saves, because he will save his people from their sins. He will separate them from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to the son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So again, what do we see over here? The mercy seat, atonement. Jesus comes and he is going to separate us from our sin, and his name is Emmanuel. In other words, now God with us, the meeting place. The reconciliation takes place. The atoning sacrifice of Jesus brings us into reality. Okay. That's why whenever one wants to try and hide from God, I think all of us have experienced when you may have done something that you know is not in line with the ways of God, and then people start to hide all the time. They become very sort of God with us. Then we'd rather hide from God. And that we've got to renew our mind and, wow, God, thank you. In your Son, because you see, remember, when you get born again, we are in Christ. Christ is sinless. That's a big thing that we go through in a few weeks' time. Now we begin to realize, but because we're in Christ Jesus, now the sin is covered. It's been removed. We've been separated because we're in Him. The old has died. We are a new creation. The new creation is being separated from sin, separated from the power of sin. That's who we are. See, now we begin to understand the depth of the love of God for us in sending His Son Jesus. Just as Adam came in and disobeyed, now all of a sudden we were caught up over there. Look at the result of disobedience. Let me just go to 1 John quickly just to give you that scripture in chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sin. Okay, once again, there's that removal of our sins. In Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Important. How can we as believers continue to sin when Christ has removed sin from our lives? It's like, you know, and believers somehow don't seem to get it. And carry on with a sinful life. The question is, have they really been born again? And we've got to be honest, even the closest people in our lives that we love so much, we've got to be honest. If we keep on seeing, they were baptized or they were doing that. No. We've got to really begin to ask, Lord, show us. And start to pray for the salvation of the family members. And he carries on over there. And he says, anyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Then He carries on, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him, and he cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who are the children of God are and who are the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. So the word of God is very clear. And the big reason is when we share the good news, when we're communicating the gospel and we're witnessing to people, we don't know that God, that in Christ we've actually been separated, we've been saved, we've been separated from our sin. That needs to become a reality as we share the gospel, so that people, when they get born again, they know that sinful life that's been separated from me, I'm a new creation, I'm in Christ. Totally different. Now, because I'm in Christ, that power of sin is broken. You see, now the law of the Spirit of life is alive within me. Now I can follow Jesus. Now I can live a life. Now I can live a holy life. So important in the discipling of people. And I'm sharing this because God is working, and many, many people are starting to get a stirring and starting to seek truth. And you and I are the people that's going to be discipling them. Okay, now let me quickly then, so we see there we know, I've read that a few times in 1 John chapter 5, where the whole world is under the control of Satan because of sin. Now look at this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the way of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in all those who are disobedient. We used to live among them at one time, gratifying our sinful nature. Again, the word disobedience is used. What is sin? Disobedience. No matter how good your neighbor is, no matter how good your family is, if they have not entered into the reality of being in Christ, they are disobedient. Satan controls them. Bottom line. No matter how good they are there in the community doing all good works, if they have not received Jesus, they are still in disobedience and they are under the control of Satan. Christ came to destroy the works of Satan because Christ was the obedient one. He faced the temptations. He walked in total obedience to the Father. Satan disobeyed. He violated. He rebelled against God. Thrown out of heaven, he comes to the reality of Adam and Eve. What was their sin? Disobedience. Satan controls. Jesus, the atonement is necessary to deliver us from the power of sin. The atonement is necessary to separate us from sin. Atonement is necessary to save us from our sins. The atonement is necessary to get us free from being under the control of Satan. No human blood can do that, because all human blood is from, it's guilt, it's full of guilt. It's full of disobedience. God had to send his son. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. But those who reject him, unfortunately, they are already in the place of condemnation. Guys, from the moment Jesus is the Word that became flesh, that's why the incarnation was so, but we'll look at that sometime. Jesus came in. Jesus is the good news of the Father. The world could see in reality the good news of God. He's died, he's been raised. Then comes Pentecost. And there we see for the first time there where the good news, they've been powered by the Holy Spirit, the apostles stand up over there and they start to declare the mighty wonders of God, the good news. And from that very moment, Satan has always tried to stop the gospel from going out. Because the good news is the power of God for salvation. The good news is the only answer to get man free from Satan's control. So he stopped. You can look at the history of the nations. You know, nations banned the Bible. You can share the gospel, but only the gospel that we allow you to share, and all that over there. So that hasn't stopped. But the kingdom of God, and men and women are going. They're going to jail. Men and women are being put to death because they stand up and they know that this is the power of God. And they know what the blood means, the atoning power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. So to set a town free, to set people free, to have a nation set free from the control of Satan, we realize God's answer, the only way is the good news, it's the gospel. And we have that incredible ministry to proclaim the good news to mankind. Hey? Because he loves the people. And so, may this encourage us to know that when we have communion, Jesus said, "This is my blood of the new covenant for the forgiveness of sin." It's the blood. Without the blood, there's no forgiveness. Without the blood, we stay under the control of sin and Satan. The blood has taken us out of that, and that's the new covenant. The old covenant was all about outside, exterior, cleansingness and forgiveness and all that. The new covenant is all about the inside, the new heart. The removal of sin, the removal of the power of sin nature, the new nature, the Spirit of God, the Father and the Son dwelling within us. It's all a reality within. The good news, the gospel. Amen. So let's give thanks. Father, we want to thank you this morning for your incredible love in sending your Son Jesus. Lord, only your blood was guiltless. Only your blood was sinless. Your blood is holy blood unto the Lord. And as we just, by your Holy Spirit, enable us to just go back to the day of your death, and we begin to see that depth of this love of yours and how you gave your body as a living sacrifice, how you surrendered and you said to the Father, "Father, the bulls and the animals, their blood cannot satisfy your righteousness. That blood cannot satisfy who you, just your justice, your holiness, your love, your mercy, your compassion, and how you, Jesus, said, I'm coming to do your will, Father, so that we can be set free." So just as in Adam, one man's sin, all have sinned, in you, your act of righteousness, your act of obedience, your sinlessness, has brought us life for many. And today we receive, as we drink the wine representing your blood, we want to thank you. You've set us free from sin. Sin has no hold over us. Help us to be one with that truth so that we can declare that not only in our lives, but as we minister, and help others to be able to receive the power of the blood so that they can be set free from the power of sin in their lives, whether it's addictions, whatever it may be. But your body, Lord, as that goat, as that sacrifice, the sin was laid upon that body, that goat, and was sent out. Our sin was laid upon you, your body, and removed from us. And so we eat today, Lord Jesus, remembering what you have done for us, thanking you for what you have done for us, knowing that you have removed our sins, and that the Father remembers our sin no more. Thank you that your blood has set us free and saved us from our sin. And we just receive the benefits of salvation in our lives today, Father, through your Son, Jesus. Amen.